Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy Cat Hayes is not in. Jennings Randolph Jr. is in, and Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. The Seamaster is not in. Matt Whitener is in. The Plowhawk is not in. Matt Rocchio is in, and Iggy is in, except he's not currently in.
No.
He might be on a smoke break, which is brought to you by Salt and Smoke.
Okay, we don't need that noise.
Good stuff.
It is pretty good stuff. Coming up at 8:30, Derek Gould's going to be with us. I'm looking forward to talking it over with Derek Gould. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll see what the word is with him. A lot of Cardinal discussion, both on Yadier Molina returning to Instagram last night at 9 o'clock with a picture of Jose Oquendo saying how much he misses him, and then the Cardinal trade deadline discussion, lack of activity, and Ken Rosenthal reporting the Cardinals got late into the Sonny Gray race, saying they entered the discussions late, floating the idea of a package that would have included outfielder Stephen Piscotty and a right-handed pitcher, either Luke Weaver or Jack Flaherty. It may have been coincidental, but considering what Stephen Piscotty's dealing with from a personal standpoint, and his family lives in the Bay Area, correct? Am I right on that? I know he went to Stanford, but don't they live in the Bay Area?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure.
I thought they did. All things considered, that might not have been the worst thing, if indeed that's where they live. I thought they lived in the Bay Area, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Either way, you're welcome to get involved anytime. You want 855-282-8255. It spells Cub Talk. 855-CUB-TALK here on the program. And send your emails in for the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. A suspension special from Hot Shots is the prize. Hot Shots was voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times at one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today. Email the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Misty Plops ships July, a new month today, a clean slate. Stephen Wildwood, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. What about Justin in Columbia? What about P-Hump? What about the rat in Bloomsdale? West what about County, Uncle Carl's double-sided fleshlight?
West County turkey baster.
Tunnels 12,000.
Right. No, I don't care for him.
They all could get a lead today. Yep. And historically, if you look at the sabermetrics, if you win the first email of the day, you usually win the email of the month.
Well, that's so because Misty Plops wins almost every month, and he usually wins almost every day. So he wins the first day, so he wins the month.
Why don't you appreciate it? It's like now we'd love to watch Tiger play again, and while it was going on, people go, oh, he says the F word, and he says F this and F that, and he's bad from a kid.
Yeah, why can't you give props to Plops?
This is a guy that won't even show his face. He shows up in public with a gimp mask.
Well, a lot of people are doing that.
It's starting to catch on.
I saw it at Bellerive yesterday.
Yes, we had three players yesterday in gimp masks.
Yep. Reveal yourself, Plops.
I think Dustin Johnson might do it this weekend at Firestone.
He won't.
Ryan Kelly is on the line. Hello, Ryan.
Gentlemen, how are we this morning?
What's the good word? What's the good word?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm playing a little hooky from the office. I'll be in soon. But I got, you remember Coach Patty here?
Yeah, one of the greats.
I'm sitting down here. Yeah, Coach Patty Hanna. You guys did a great piece on him for Inside STL. And he's here with me now. We just decided it might be time to start that boxing training back up and start getting good shape again with that. So here we are. We're in the gym. I'm just finishing up.
You're going to put your title on the line?
Well, first of all, I need a belt, so we'll have to start with that.
Get that taken care of.
I don't know. I would we would do it different maybe than we did last year, of course. But
I would agree.
Really, when you take away all the clutter and all the crap and BS out of the fight last time, or mostly after the fight.
Exactly.
It was a heck of a fundraising opportunity. People enjoyed it. We raised over $25,000 for three local charities. And if you take away, like I said, all the crap that came, after, it was a beautiful event and something I'd definitely be interested in doing again. Maybe we'd put some celebrity, kind of boxing before, like Cam Jansen versus another guy, about his age, his sport, something like that. And just put this together, I bet we could raise a lot more dollars.
How about that, Doug? How about that scrap?
Yeah, what about who can we have Doug fight? Freddy Cusumano and Doug, that's about fair, right?
Nice.
Well, you get a certain age and they don't allow fighting in the rest homes.
McCurney, would you be buy or selling Doug against Frank?
Doug is one hell of an athlete and his body is so good.
Yeah. Well, that part's true. Who do you want to take on?
I don't want to make Frank mad. I'll be talking to him later today. So,
you're the strap holder. Who do you want to fight to risk your title?
No, I don't know. I haven't really given much thought to that. You guys maybe know somebody over there that owns one of those other mortgage companies. I could put some work on them.
How about Misty Plops? And if you beat him, he has to take his mask off.
Misty Plops, and if I beat him, he has to banish himself. It's like old boy had to. I don't say his name.
How about Deke Dotem? And if Deke Dotem wins, you got to free him.
I like Deke Dotem too much. He's a really good guy. Dusty's Deke's cousin works with me in the office. He looks just like him. It's crazy.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. That's a good fun fact. Oh, that's a good fun fact.
Yeah, boy, I don't know who you're hiring these.
Really cool cousin
working.
And then I'm doing his mom's loan. I mean, I'm tied into those Dotems. I'll tell you, really deep right now.
But just be real careful. Just be real careful with that.
I'm out of breath. You got a little inside. I'll be in the office in 30 minutes. It's time for a quick shower. Hey, Doug, what are you up to?
Well, I'm working.
I'm going to hit the shower.
Engaged with Lady Journalism.
I'm closing more loans. And Coach Petty, say hello to the boys.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
Look, it's Coach Petty, Doug.
Fine.
How are you,
fine,
sir?
Coach.
I'm great, man. I'm fantastic. Just wondering when you guys are going to come down for a boxing workout.
Doug, you said you were going to get down there this afternoon and jump rope.
I'm more of a brass knuckle street fighter rather than the, you know, someone who follows the Marcus of Queensbury rules.
Okay.
We were just talking a little bit about Tyron's fight. I mean, kind of talking about the big UFC fight on Saturday. Did you boys watch the fight?
No, I missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a heck of a fight, man. Jones is our new champion. He took down DC. Tyron kept the belt. You know, Dana and him were kind of going at it a little bit about the fight. Not enough punches thrown, this and that. But at the end of the day, he still has the belt and he still has the money, and he won the fight, and that's what matters. So just kind of shooting it, waiting for you guys to call. But I'm moving. I got loans to close. I got people to work on, money to save people. Interest rates are cut in half. I'm ready to roll. Call the office today if you want to refinance to buy a house. I'd love to talk to you. 314-781-9700. Always online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Boys, appreciate letting me jump on. I'm gonna hang up now. Doug, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Nice.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
There it is. Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor. He's getting a workout. And, Doug, you're apparently going to go down there, too.
I wanted to shower with you, it sounded like to me.
The 8 o'clock to do this. I'm going to suspend him.
You're going to suspend the title sponsor?
Ryan Kelly has been suspended for his shower comments.
Wow.
He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name will go into the Hot Shots Leatherbound Suspension Log. You know, they have 11 locations in town. There's probably one near you. The Fenton one's closest to me. That's where I may be later today. You say, wait a minute, you didn't write anything. I did write it down.
Yeah, you did.
Because I have a Wright Business Products ink pen branded with my name and my name alone. You can get your name on your own business products if you call Wrightsy.
The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient, Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. Big Al just texted in that he would like to box the Barnhart Brawler.
Ah, that'd be a nice match.
Barnhart Brawler has been called out.
I would think their weight is similar, wouldn't it?
Al is, he's always getting thinner, Al is.
He's frisky.
I don't know about frisky.
He's got a lot of energy in the ring. He'd have to shake off some ring rust.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's got a lot of energy.
He definitely gets energized.
Yeah. I think Big Al probably weighs about 150.
I think about a buck 05. Every time I think he's got something wrong with him, some sort of disease.
Doug, college football is a month away now, Jack. Month away. How about that? Gurs take on, boy, it's going to be so much fun when they take on Missouri State.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it looks like a little W. Way to start with a little W.
And Stingray got everybody ready for college football season yesterday by calling the highlights of Auburn and Alabama from 2 years ago. 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
He watched the game again, did a play-by-play of it?
Right. Take a listen, would you?
All right. Hit the lever, please, Roxy. Oh, he doesn't have it ready.
No,
just look. It's on the list there. Okay. Scroll down.
Yeah, you got to be on your toes when you're on the board on this show because we don't know where we're going.
What else would have come up now other than that Auburn-Alabama game? God bless it.
Nurse?
Just like
Nancy.
Just like Melina, Mrs. Akindo, I'm starting to miss Plowboy right about now.
Does it say Stingray? That's it.
Attaboy.
Alabama going for the field goal. The kick is up.
It is away. It is no good. Chris Davis bringing it out of the end zone. Oh, he's got blockers. Chris Davis up the sideline. Here he goes. Chris Davis. They're not going to stop him. Auburn is going to beat Alabama. There goes the chance for the three-peat. Chris Davis has saved the day for Auburn. Are you kidding me? Wow. What a play. Touchdown, Auburn.
One of the great calls in the history of the sport. So, right there. I'm glad he recreated it.
That's what I wanted to ask. I didn't get to. I know a little bit about the stinger. He voiced that
yesterday.
Yesterday,
right?
Okay.
Now the game took place on Saturday. Was that
no?
Did play the Iron Bonds?
Nope.
It's easier to call play-by-play when you know what's going to happen before it's happened.
You think so?
Yeah, a little easier to prepare yourself.
Okay.
Doug, would you like to call a couple plays and put them up on YouTube today? Be fun.
I don't think I've got the time. That wouldn't be journalism. That'd be show business, and I am not about show
business. No, you're more about journalism.
Hard scrabble.
I'd like to go back to 2003 when there was a runner on second base. I believe it might have been Mike Crudale, as a matter of fact. And Bo Hart hit a little lazy ground ball over to the right side of the infield to move Crudale over to third and nice. Received a standing ovation from these fans who just appreciate the fundamentals of the game.
Other
and
fan bases
short
don't
white
know.
People.
Yes.
Other fan bases don't know that that's not a bad job.
What, being the gritty gutty white guy?
No, just hit that ball to the right side. And hopefully, I don't remember the at-bat, but preferably he fouled off seven or eight pitches, which
Thank
showed
you,
he really had a good at-bat.
Well, Thank that's you, when sir. You're in control.
No, you don't foul.
You're in control at the dish. You're able, if you want, to foul a pitch off.
How about if you want, you get a base hit?
Well,
how about doing that instead of hitting the foul ball if you got so damn much control?
Some guys get locked into the foul ball.
Yeah,
they do. They like
foul it.
It
off. So they'll say I had a really good at-bat. If on the first pitch of the at-bat you hit a line drive to the gap for a double, I don't know if that's a very good at-bat. You didn't foul anything off. You didn't take 10 pitches. I couldn't be more upset. But it's
you
just,
mad,
it's,
bro?
Well, I'm not that mad. It's just really nice to hear a call better than the one. It was Vern Lundquist, I believe, was on that call, wasn't he?
I believe he was.
I prefer this one. I prefer this one. I prefer an updated version.
You don't like the original. You like the updated.
I could go back and redo what Russ Hodges did when Bobby Thompson hit his historic home run.
Giants won the pennant.
Time we redid all these. Just erase the memories of the past greats.
That could be a new contest for our next TMA Live. Recreate your best radio call.
That's a nice idea, Iggy. Mm. August 17th at Hot Shots in Fenton, the Yankee Stadium of Hot Shots, they
sure
say.
Sure it is.
Brought to you by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Harry's Razors is the official razor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A few people came up to me yesterday, Jay, you saw him, mm-hmm. Saying, wow, you are really, really
clean shaven.
These are the
really
groundskeepers.
No,
again.
It's
the gallery.
The gallery and some of the members that were out there.
And some of the
up.
Neighbors, when I kept pulling my drive into their yards, they came, oh, wow, thanks for stopping by. It's not like right. that. Lovely to have you here in Ladue.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, your skin's soft.
They didn't say that. They said, get off my lawn.
Save time and money with Harry's. They're able to provide you an amazing quality shave at an affordable price by owning the factory and taking less profits. They pass those savings directly on to you. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Great news. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades. They're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and we have partnered with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Head over to harrys.com/insidestl to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer for free. All you do is cover just a few bucks in shipping to get your free trial set, including handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover. Go to harrys.com/insidestl. That's harrys.com/insidestl. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. Derek Gould's going to be with us coming up at 8:30. I saw this story and I saw Derek interacting with the writer, and I'm looking forward to getting his perspective on this story. And I don't know if you guys saw this. There's a Cardinal Facebook page called Cardinal True Fans. I'd like to join that. They weren't real high on the story. Are you familiar with the page?
I'm not familiar.
You ought to post your Ariana Marie video there and see how it plays.
See how it plays over?
Matt Carpenter never said the word God. Trevor Rosenthal never said the word Christian. Neither Carpenter nor Rosenthal said the word Jesus. That's how tame the St. Louis Cardinals Christian Day was Sunday at Busch Stadium. The two former All-Stars were supposedly speaking about their religion after Sunday's game, but Carpenter talked about the camaraderie of the Christian guys on the team, and Rosenthal discussed how it helps him to have people to talk to when things are tough. Yet the franchise with the most World Series titles in the National League seemed afraid about sports writing about the event. I was denied a credential after requesting one through OutSports and then through SB Nation, OutSports' parent company. Chris Tuno, the St. Louis communications coordinator, wrote me that, quote, Major League Baseball and its member clubs do not credential web/blog sites. Major League Baseball and its member clubs credential only those media wishing to cover teams and their players where a theme night would not fall under that category, end quote. Tuno told me instead to buy a ticket. So I did. It marks the first time OutSports was denied a media credential in its 17-year history. According to our co-founder, OutSports has been credentialed to cover Super Bowls and NFL games, Final Fours, the MLS Cup, MLB games, USOC events, and even the ESPYs. I've previously covered MLB games in San Diego and Chicago and events as big as the Stanley Cup Final. But at a Cardinals and Diamondbacks game in late July, the Busch Stadium press box, which has hosted three World Series and an All-Star game, did not have room. While the Cardinals denied a credential to an LGBT publication, Cardinal manager Mike Matheny tried to claim Christians are an afflicted minority during his Christian Day talk. Matheny said of his players that talked ahead of him at Christian Day, quote, for them to share something that isn't politically correct anymore, something that isn't publicly acceptable, for them to stand up here and to share takes a great amount of courage, end quote. In addition to Carpenter, Rosenthal, and Matheny, Sunday's speakers included Zach Duke and Adam Wainwright, former Cardinal Lance Berkman, and Cardinal announcer Rick Horton. Of the game's 40,827 in attendance, around 1,500 people stayed for the Christian Day ceremony. None of the seven speakers mentioned the words lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered. OutSports' interest in the event stemmed from Berkman campaigning against LGBT rights 2 years ago. In a 2015 campaign ad, Berkman referred to transgender people as, quote, troubled men who claim to be women, end quote. The ad helped defeat Houston Proposition 1, a public referendum that looked to prevent LGBT discrimination in Houston. In 2015, after the election, Berkman told NBC Sports that he regretted using the term troubled men and said it was language given to him by the people behind the ad. In the same interview, he told NBC, we shouldn't have the rights of 2% of the population trump the rights of the other 98%. Is it a mental choice? I don't know, but it is Pandora's box. Berkman, a six-time Major League Baseball All-Star, helped St. Louis to win the 2011 World Series. In June, there was backlash to Berkman being brought in as the Christian Day speaker. The Cardinals released a statement in June that said about Berkman, quote, we welcome him back this year to discuss his faith, end quote. Perhaps in an attempt to dampen the controversy, the Cardinals also decided to hold a Pride Night this August. Berkman stayed away from the LGBT politics on Sunday in his speech. The closest he came was telling the crowd to, quote, be obedient to the Bible. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. You can't have faith unless you're walking in the way that God wants you to walk, end quote. I wanted a credential, the author goes on to say, since four active players and the current manager were the opening acts for Berkman on Sunday, and it would have been nice to ask them how they feel about Berkman's politics. Carpenter, a Texas native, might have had an insight on Texas's current push for anti-LGBT legislation regarding sports, adoption, and marriage. Maybe the players that spoke at Christian Day don't have much experience with the LGBT community, or maybe they even have an LGBT sibling. It's hard to know since I did not get the chance to ask. And then he goes on to talk about some of the people who are employees of the Cardinals as concession and vendors. But he said it's disappointing that he did not get a credential. It's less than a month until the Cardinals Pride Night on August 25th. No speakers have been announced. The only aspect of the night promoted on the Cardinal website is a hat that fans can buy with a rainbow-colored Cardinal logo. I wonder how many current Cardinal players will speak on the field before or after the team's Pride Night. More importantly, will the Cardinals let LGBT media into the press box or locker room for that game, or will they have to buy a ticket? That is on OutSports.com. Now, I saw Derek interacting with the author of this story, asking if he tried to reach out to the Baseball Writers Association to get a credential. I do know this regarding the Cardinals' policy with blogs. That is universal. That is their policy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the author necessarily portrayed it this way, but to subtly suggest that the Cardinals didn't credential OutSports because it is an LGBT website is not accurate, nor would I consider it to be fair.
So why wasn't the person credentialed?
Because the Cardinals don't credential blogs / websites.
Gotcha.
They don't. I don't believe InsideSTL.com.
There'd be no room in the building.
Right. So just to give you, so I don't believe InsideSTL.com alone at this moment could get it. I think things are continuing to evolve,
sure,
so to speak, in that line. So just specific to that part of the story, and I'm not saying, by the way, that the author is saying that the Cardinals, you know, singled out sports, but what the Cardinals are saying is they don't credential websites, blogs. So that's not unique.
No.
I don't know if I'm conveying
that. No, I think that's, there are people who I've known who do write for blogs or whatever it may be that have tried to get a credential, and they're told that same thing. We do not credential blogs or some websites, I guess.
Right. You could set up a website right now in the next 10 minutes and claim you're a blogger and want free entrance,
sure,
to every Cardinal game. They're not going to do that.
No. But it's... we didn't have to talk about this 20, 30 years ago, and I know times have changed, but I guess there should be a Christian night or a Muslim night or a LGBT night. I guess there's going to be a night every night at the ballpark. Star Wars night.
Social experiment.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you got enough people who want to do it and they want to pay for it, you know, let them have it. But I don't necessarily think it's appropriate for websites and bloggers to come in and criticize everybody else's religion. I mean, we could do that to any religion. Pick one. You could find something that you don't like about it and criticize it. I don't think that that'd be appropriate.
I don't feel like he criticized Christianity, did you?
No.
Well, that's probably where he was going.
But he didn't.
No.
Well, then why did he choose Christian night to want to...
Because Lance Berkman was the speaker.
And he's speaking his Christian values.
No, because Lance Berkman was used in a political ad in November 2015 to strike down Houston Proposition 1, a public referendum that looked to prevent LGBT discrimination in Houston.
Yeah, well, maybe. I suppose he had other things that he was going to go and criticize. I would think that was his agenda. I don't think it had just to do with Lance Berkman.
Yeah, that's what he was here for.
Well...
And there's no bigger support of the LGBT community in St. Louis than I.
I did not realize that.
There are other places. Yes. Aren't there other places to go and criticize Lance Berkman? It had to be
there
here.
Is. But just because Lance Berkman spoke out against transgendered people does not mean he's not a Christian.
No.
For the people that were saying he shouldn't be here talking on Christian Day, he's not a Christian, he said this. Yeah, that's ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, there are other places also you could go to criticize Lance Berkman. I'm sure this is not the only place that he ever talks.
It's a shame that the sideshows distract the attention from what each is trying to do. Pride Night is trying to just have a night where they can celebrate going to a baseball game. Christian Day is, as Tim pointed out, 1,500, 1,400 people stayed after the game to hear some guys talk about their faith. Okay. That each has their own.
Right.
But I do understand the point of this guy wanting to maybe take a closer look because of an individual that had spoke out against.
Well, do it someplace where you don't have to have a credential. Do it someplace other than a stadium.
Let's get to Derek Gould. He is brought to you by GFI Digital. We'll get his perspective on the credential issue because, like I said, Derek was interacting with the author yesterday. GFI Digital provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. Plenty to discuss with Derek Gould. We might be on the phone for the next hour with Derek. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. That's usually what Frank Cusimano says.
Derek, I want to start with what we were just discussing, which is the outsports.com column, and then we're going to get into Yadier Molina's fun with Instagram again and, of course, the trade deadline. But I saw you interacting with the author yesterday, and if I'm not mistaken, you were asking him if he had reached out to the Baseball Writers Association of America, of which you are president emeritus. and to see if he could get a credential that way. Because what they are saying regarding the Cardinals policy, that is not unique. If the author was attempting to insinuate that the Cardinals were discriminating against OutSports.com, that's not accurate. They don't credential blogs and websites. That has been the policy for a while.
They selectively give credentials to blogs and websites. I mean, there are some folks. I mean, heck, I started a blog at the Post-Dispatch and have been called a blogger. I have a credential. There are others in the press box who run their own websites as a business or, as a professional business, and they get credentials. So
okay, hold. So then now I got to back up here. So they do credential websites and blogs now?
They are selective with who they credential when it comes to blogs.
Can you give me some examples of some blogs that currently do have credentials?
Boy, that's a good question. I guess how broad a definition do you want to call blogs?
Does a place like Viva Alberto's have a...
Okay, so that's like a fan blog. Okay,
yeah.
No, they. I have not seen them credential a fan blog. But you have there are folks in the press box who produce content for their own websites. Are those considered blogs?
Can you give me, is it okay if I'm asking? I don't know if you want me to put you on the spot with like naming one. I'm just trying to get it. Because to me, then if they do, and I didn't know that they did, I thought, because this has always kind of been a universal policy to not credential blogs, so perhaps that's changed with you saying they selectively do. Then I don't know why OutSports wouldn't receive a credential.
Well, I think it depends on the definition of blog. That's what I'm getting at. Is like we have St. Louis Baseball Weekly by our good friend Brian Stahl, right? He puts up audio and articles and does a lot of different things there. But under some definitions, including ones that I've worked with the BBWAA to try to understand the modern media landscape, that would be considered a blog. I know a few years ago. They restarted the St. Louis Globe Democrat, right?
Online. Yes.
And when we were trying to figure out, is that a blog? Well, then if it's a blog, it doesn't really fall under BBWA policies. It doesn't really fall under the Cardinals policy. But they were able to get a credential. So, I think it's a really tricky thing. And to give you some background here, they did reach out to people for help. They did go look at what they could, do as far as, getting help. So APSE, they reached out to the St. Louis chapter of the Baseball Writers Association on Facebook, and I didn't get the message, or I didn't see the message, or I'm not sure. So OutSports did reach out for help. And I regret not seeing those messages. Other entities that they reached out to gave them the suggestion to just work with the Cardinals, and that's where they went. That's what they got.
So is it surprising to you that they were not credentialed when they reached out to the Cardinals?
I don't know what the presentation was like. I'd like to know more about that. I don't know. If they were just dismissed because of their name, that's obviously not right. If they were dismissed because they presented themselves as a blog, I could see why they needed to recapture their presentation. If, they presented themselves with, what intentions they had, I just don't know. I would love to know what the email said that they wrote to the Cardinals. I would love to know how they weren't able to talk to the Cardinals and discuss, this is what we want to do, this is why we're coming, because it would seem that a conversation would have solved this. I mean, that's always been my first preference, is you exchange a lot of emails, you don't think it's going very well, pick up the phone and explain what's going on. And maybe that happened, I don't know, but it does seem like a conversation would have solved this.
You think it's possible the Cardinals didn't want to give him a credential because they thought that it was just going to be a hit piece on Lance Berkman?
Yeah, and then they should say that.
But
if they thought one thing that the Cardinals, and this is true of any credential, not blogs, not anything, and this is true of all teams, too. Let's not, and I mean that, you know, across all sports that I've run into, is if the entity feels and that somebody is being credentialed with the purpose to harass players in their place of business, then the credential will be denied. I'm not sure if there's evidence of that, but if the Cardinals could argue, or if another team argues that that could happen, then you could also see why a credential would be denied.
Right, they would reserve that right. It is a business. They're not required to let just anybody in.
Right.
Well, for the record, the Cardinals communications coordinator Chris Tuno wrote, quote, Major League Baseball and its member clubs do not credential web/blog sites. Major League Baseball and its member clubs credential only those media wishing to cover teams and their players where a theme night would not fall under that category, end quote. So Tuno told him to buy a ticket, and he did. That is what he is saying.
Yep. I mean, I read the story. Again, you know, I mean, like they're saying, you know, the intent, was the intent to cover the theme day, or was the intent to talk to players about the theme day?
I think the answer to that is letter C, which is both.
Right. So to talk to the players who are involved in the theme day, it would require a credential.
Right. But I would just think Outsports.com and their parent company, SB Nation, would be large enough to warrant a credential. But again, if there was a policy, but yep. I didn't realize that there was a selective, I didn't realize that it now changed to selective. But if it's selective, Outsports and SB Nation are huge. So they
SB Nation, some, you know, I know that like when we, a group of us worked to improve and modernize the membership right policies for the BBWAA, right? And we had some dusty policies that did not meet the modern landscape. And so it was leaving a lot of guys who left newspapers without a route to be members, even though they had been with newspapers for a long time and had long been members. So what changed? Their jobs were the same. It's just the medium was different. And SB Nation was one of those things that we were discussing that we had to sort through, because we're trying to figure out, all right, well, how do we make this right? How do we make this kind of fit the modern media landscape, was the phrase that we kept learning. And one of the things we did was we took it locally. So when there's applications for BBWA membership, which comes with a credential and which is the biggest part of our existence, is access. When there's an application there, then, you know, it goes to the locals first. And once it, you know, goes through that, they can approve it. And in SB Nation case, there's been examples of applications that have come locally from SB Nation sites. And they, I believe at least one has been accepted. I don't know. But I know that one was not, because the person who writes, and I would prefer not to reveal who, said that they didn't want to wanted to remain fans, and that they didn't see that going to the press box, where, yeah, there's no cheering in the press box and all that stuff, they didn't see how that computed with the policy in the press box. And that makes sense. That was of their own choice.
For the record, Viva Alberto's is an SB Nation site as well.
Yes. They have not applied.
And is, yeah. Okay, it's in, perhaps that's...
I don't know how they would. I mean, I don't know if they would.
Mm-hmm. But they've not applied, so therefore we can't say that they've been denied. That's an important part of the fact.
I mean, I am.
All right. We are efforting the author of the Outsports column for the 9 o'clock hour, for the record, to try and
it's
get...
It's Eric Hall, right?
I believe so. And he and Matt Whitener are working on that right now. All right. We have so much to get to. In addition to this, let's talk about what took place yesterday at 3 o'clock, and then we'll talk about Yadier Molina's Instagram at 9 o'clock, Doug. So that's our timeline.
Okay.
So the Cardinals don't wind up making any moves yesterday. How close were they to making moves?
Oh boy, it really seemed like they were distant. you know, they set a price for Lance Lynn that they wanted to get. You know, I was of the sense and heard from folks yesterday that it was going to be whether Sonny Gray moved and if Sonny Gray moved and whether Darvish moved and if Darvish moved, as to what the Cardinals could expect to get in regards to, you know, Lance Lynn. And then it took until the last hour for Sonny Gray to move, and then it took to the final seconds for Darvish to move. And at no point in time in there did he really get the bump towards Lance Lynn. So, you know, it's not clear how close they were. They were stymied at every end in trying to get a bat. They're just—I mean, you guys saw the market just never produced one, never advanced much on the bat front, especially when it came to one who was controlled through 2018. As far as relievers, they had a few that they pursued and then eased back off when they thought the price was either too high or the reliever was not better than what they had.
So is it fair to come to the conclusion that they are somewhat satisfied with the roster that they have now and think they have a shot with it?
Satisfied, no. Stuck with, yes.
No. Well, that's not real encouraging.
Well, but that's the accurate way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. You can't talk for a month about how unhappy you are with the results, with the makeup, with the logjam, with the traffic, and then say, oh, no, you know what? Our bad. We're happy with what we got. They're not. They're not happy with where they are in the standings. They're not happy with the mix of players they have. They're not happy with the logjam of outfielders they have. They're not happy with how they play. They just didn't find any way to alleviate that at the trade deadline.
Would you expect them then to make some major trades when the season is over to shake things up at some point?
The intent to do so is different than the ability to do so. You know, they can have the intent. They've had the intent before. We have yet to see the results of that.
So what, Derek, is limiting their ability that you cite to do it?
My thoughts on this haven't changed really much. They were more confirmed, is that the market has caught and moved past them, and they have to adjust. They have been very reluctant to give up prospects, especially the haul of prospects that it takes, and yet that's what it takes to move guys. That's what it takes to land the kind of players that they have been unable to develop. So I think that's where they're at. You know, I mean, they have to find a way to be comfortable with dealing from their depth, find a team that will take on their depth, because the ability to spend, the ability to take on contracts is just not as valuable as it used to be. Now, you know, to use a phrase that we heard yesterday and I've heard a lot in the last few weeks, it's prospect value. That's the currency of the realm right now. It's control years and prospect value. And, you know, like yesterday, they just didn't find teams that were eager to pay for a rental. That's a lot different than than 5, 6, 7 years ago, where there were teams who would give up a prospect for a rental. Now the teams are reluctant to do that because that prospect has 6 years of control, and there aren't a whole lot of Boston Red Sox teams out there that go, you know what, we'd rather have the now than the prospect. Everybody would rather have the prospect. So the market has started valuing prospects in the same way the Cardinals long have, and that means they have to adjust.
There's only half a dozen or so, maybe 7 or 8 teams that are really hopelessly out of it right now. So that kind of limits the number of impact players who might be available. Does that get back to that second wild card team now, where so many teams still think they're in it by July 31st?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, and also the wide gap that there are a few things. Most significantly is what you mentioned is the second wild card. Second, and not quite as significant, is the fact that you got a few teams that are so far out in first place, that the standings just feel like a little bit like a taffy pull. Like it's there's the really good teams, then there's this thin group that might have a chance. And then this clump of teams that aren't really out of it, but don't really have a shot. And then there's the thicker end where they're rebuilding. But I'll also add a little sleeper reason, Doug, to it. And that's that the Cubs exist. And the Brewers are in second place. And the Astros are so far ahead. And these teams that had tear downs to build up, other teams see how quickly they're snapping back into action. A lot of people think that the White Sox of this year could be the Yankees of next year, and the Yankees are a good example of it. You know, last year they were very active at the deadline, and all of a sudden now they are on the other end of it. This year they're very active at the deadline, acquiring one of the best players available at the deadline and radically altering how they look when it comes to both the rest of the season but also a postseason series. So there are teams that see that and go, well, the tear-down build-up doesn't take the length that it did for the Cubs or doesn't take the length that it did for the Astros. There's a way to do it without the years of pain if you just kind of hold on. And again, it goes back to prospect value.
Derek Gould, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS. GFI Digital is Derek's sponsor. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. But perhaps I'm off on this. My opinion is that since Twitter really became a mainstream force of social media communication over the last 8 to 9 years, this was the most anger I've seen from the Cardinal fan base on July 31st. It's the first time the organization didn't make a move at the deadline between July 24th and July 31st since 2005. And I think that could be because, first off, it'll be 2 years in a row that they wouldn't make the postseason. But secondarily, you had a lot of people who wanted to see the organization sell. And then you also had some people who wanted to see the organization buy. And then for them to do neither led to both groups being dissatisfied. What was your read on the Cardinal fan base's reaction when 3 o'clock came and went with no activity?
I think I would agree with your statement there at the very beginning. If I were to be allowed to add that it's a continuation of the angriest year I've ever encountered. I have not. I mean, there's always been little flashpoints. 2014, late in 2014. Especially towards the end and how it ended, there was a lot of anger. Last year had some simmering, but the amount of just the caustic nature of a lot of the tweets and a lot of the emails, a lot of the things even in the chat sent my way, is ratcheted up to a level that I'm astonished by. I mean, you know, some of this stuff you wouldn't say even at a bar, to individuals, and yet I think it's like it used to be like 0 to 6 tweets before they started calling you names, and now it's the second tweet. Like if you don't give them the answer they want, yep, it's name calling. Here it comes, and it's really astonishing, and I understand that, you know, I mean, it speaks to the passion of the fan base, that they're so quick to anger and so quick to want to find some deeper truth to things when, you know, sometimes it's not there, and then when you don't offer up or don't play into the conspiracy that could actually mean maybe finally the Cardinals do something to get better, they get angry at you. It's an interesting tone. I don't know what to make of it. I do know that at the end of the chat, I'm beaten. I mean, I honestly
a lot of this is your fault. You're not holding anybody accountable.
I don't even know what that word means anymore. I asked that. Like, what does accountable mean? You know, accountable used to mean that you would write when they do stuff wrong and ask them questions when they do stuff wrong and they had to, you know, face the music. Now, apparently, it means that we go to press conferences with horses and drawn and quarter people publicly.
Right.
You know, I mean, eventually – they want Busch Stadium to turn into Thunderdome, right?
Right.
And we just bring in Tina Turner, and we all go at it with chainsaws.
Yeah, I'd cover that. That'd get me down there.
I think at the very least, you're supposed to put a finger in the chest of a pitcher who gave up a home run or yell at a hitter who didn't drive in a run when the runner was at third base. You're supposed to hold them accountable when they
what
don't
perform. What does that mean, Doug?
They don't perform to our expectations. You're the one with the credential. Outsports couldn't get it. You're supposed to go in there in the locker room and start telling people they're not getting the job done.
I think if we're really going down this path, what bothers me is that we have really lost the power of words when we cannot come up with the definition of accountable and where we abuse the definition of narrative. It's just like we're very good at euphemisms, and it seems like that's what accountable has become. Accountable has become a euphemism for what I want it to be, darn it. And I don't know what that means. Well, like, it can't climb inside your skull and know what accountable means. I mean, you know, some of the things that are going on with the Cardinals, you know, they're having problems. The way they play, the way, like I said, the way they fit together, some of the decisions that are made. Certainly the fan base, you know, has every right to be frustrated. I was really struck by Saturday night. I mean, 48,000 tickets sold, less than that, obviously, through the gate, but it was packed. And I know that fireworks were the big draw. Free fireworks were the big draw, but they also came to a baseball game. And you know what? They didn't show up at the end of the baseball game. They were there at the beginning, and it was a pretty full place. And you know that they've sold more than 3.2, 3.3 million tickets. To me, those tickets were sold on a promise. And they were sold because the Cardinals believe that they are annual, that Cardinal fans believe that they should annually be in contention. I think a vast majority of them understand that they're not always going to get in the playoffs, but they probably ought to always play like they can get there. And if there's injuries that happen, fine. If there's down years that happen for players, everybody understands that. But for them to make decisions and for them to make moves that point them in the direction of being in contention, I think, is part of that promise. That's the premise that they've sold to people. That's the history that they've sold to people. That's part of their brand, is contending. And if they want 40,000 through the gates, they owe it to probably make good on that promise, right?
Yeah. Well, they're certainly trying. Some days it works out and some days it doesn't. It's not an exact science, as you know. But more than anything else, we are a baseball town where fans are just passionate. That's why there is 40,000 there a night. That's why we freak out about who's playing second base and what the batting order is and who's coming up from Memphis. That's all kind of tied in together. People sometimes get angrier than they should, but that anger and that passion is also what puts 40,000 people in the stands.
Yep, that's all very well stated.
However, one of the things that I think fans cannot stand is discord amongst players and management. And it seems like, Derek, whether it's that serious or not, something's going on.
With multiple players?
No. Just the situation with Yachty. I mean, what are we to infer by all this that's going on?
Well, I mean, Yachty took to social media to defend himself against comments made by the manager. The manager felt the comments were taken out of context or that a word was put in his mouth. Yachty made clear to us that he did not have issue with the word the paper chose. He had issue with the inference made by the direct comments, meaning he even brought it up. He said, the base running. He felt that he had to defend himself against, that the base running was not a sign of anything. And his point was that the comments were in the paper, so he went public with his comments. I guess you're talking about the photo of Jose Oquendo or the one of Lance Lynn? Which one?
Oquendo.
Okay. Yeah, with Oquendo, it's you guys will have to check this, but I do know that you don't have to say. I do know that the sentiment that is in that photo, not what the photo is, but what he wrote after that about him being a baseball man and he's missed, that has been a sentiment that he's shared before. When Oquendo took his leave of absence and then it became longer, that was a sentiment that Yachty shared and
I mean, he publicly shared it with us that that this was a guy who was going to be missed. And, you know, you guys have certainly heard, and I think we've talked about on this show that there were players that trusted Okendo. That he was a guy that they could go to when things were going wrong, that they could trust. They also knew that he had a very low patience for shenanigans, was very demanding, and that those two things fed into each other, both his status and his stature and the length of time that he had been around, and his attention to detail. These things gave him the platform to be demanding, and because of that demanding, you know, players felt that they could go to him either for help or to express a frustration or for counsel or just to be someone to talk to. And that was a big part of his role that probably didn't appear on the field, you know, at third base. Put away all the stuff that you saw him do at third base, or even some of the stuff he did with coaching the infield. And, you know, Yadi is foremost among that. I mean, you know, he had a mentor in Okendo, and he was a guy who he could rely on either to talk him through his frustrations or to tell him how to, you know, how to express his frustrations. And I would imagine, I'll just go out on a limb here because I guess that's what we should do. I mean, I would imagine that the original photo, the one with the quotes where Yadi said that he was not tired, and if he was tired, he would tell us himself. I doubt that would have gone up if he had asked Okendo. You know, maybe he never would have asked Okendo, hey, should I put this up? But some of the things he could certainly talk, some of these frustrations he had, he could certainly talk through with Okendo. It's different doing it in person than it is on the phone.
So in other words, Okendo would have encouraged him to not post that picture. Is that what you're saying?
I would think so, yeah.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Because Okendo understands the importance of keeping things in the room.
Right.
Right.
And also because Okendo also is a liaison, and he's really gifted. I mean, you guys around the clubhouse, you know the things he does. He's really gifted at being a guy who can convey messages to two sides of a disagreement and come to an accord.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of Molina going to Instagram versus doing exactly what you were referring to hypothetically, of course, with Okendo, which is having a conversation with Mike Matheny either on the phone or that day at the ballpark?
I think he saw the comments were public and he intended to make his defense public too.
And did you feel like when you heard Mike Matheny make those comments that he was taking a shot at Yadier Molina?
No, I thought it was a continuation of ongoing conversation about how do they fight fatigue and how do they avoid the catcher wear down that we've talked about for 4 or 5 years. Because that tone to me was the tone of the conversation. Now, I want to also state, though, that other reporters had a different feel. They felt that Mike got to the brink of saying that and then was quick to walk it back to make sure that it was not clear, or to make sure it was clear he was not talking about that. The next day, Mike spoke to us, and what became evident and what became what he tried to point out and then eventually told me that this is what he stopped short of saying was that Yadi's injured and that he was concerned about the ankle that had caused them to scratch him from a game at Wrigley Field. And he thought in seeing him run, not that he was fatigued or tired or that the innings were mounting or any of those things, but that he was injured. And that he stopped short in that quote because he didn't think it was right to say that the guy was injured.
How do you think the next 3 years are going to play out with a young catcher who looks like he's going to be a quality player, apparently blocked for 3 years? How do you think they're going to handle this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the great question. I mean, I know how they'd like it to play out in their mind's eye. They'd like to have Yadi be the starter, the catcher for the rest of this year and the predominant catcher most of next year. And then the next year, see it, you know, start to, be more of a timeshare type situation. So, you know, be more 2/3, 1/3 kind of thing, and then see where it takes him in the final year of Yadi's contract and see what he's able to do. A lot of this will be responding to his health, which, we all have seen him do such excessive work during the off season and into spring training to keep himself in shape, to build up his strength, and to, you know, lighten himself, to change his body type, to maintain his knee health, all these things so that he can lead the league in innings. This is his big thing. He thinks that that's the priority. The Cardinals want to have a guy with a bat who can handle the pitching staff just as well, thinking that maybe, 130 games from Yadier is not the best way to get the production from him, that maybe the best production from him is 110 games, that maybe he plays even better with fewer games. But they don't think that's today. They don't think that's this season. And when they describe it, they don't really describe it as next season either. They just describe it as something on the horizon that they want to prepare for.
Derek Gould, brought to you by GFI Digital. Bunch of information here in the past 35 minutes, and we appreciate it. No, you're up there in Milwaukee, Cardinals and Brewers this evening.
I am not. I'm in Chicago. I have yet to get to Milwaukee.
Oh, you got to make the drive.
Got to make the drive.
Isn't that nice, Doug?
How long does that take? Hour and a half or so?
I got 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's not very far.
All right.
But it takes me by Mars Cheese Castle. Yeah.
All right.
What is that? What is that?
A little fresh cheese curd action.
Cheese curd?
Fresh.
What is that? You going for cottage cheese?
No, it's not cottage cheese. No, the thought. No, that turns my stomach, Doug.
Me too.
That.
I hate cottage cheese.
You should know that.
Yeah, I can't take cottage cheese.
Well, what kind of cheese curds are you buying up there?
They're cheese curds, buddy.
Buddy, him.
Cut that off.
I don't think I know exactly what you're buying.
Nuggets of golden cheesiness.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Doug.
Cheese
it's
nuggets.
Good.
Okay.
They're great. Do you want me to bring you some back?
If you don't mind. Nice. Yeah, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind a cheese nugget. Sure.
All right, yeah. That's good.
Well, thank you.
I'll do that.
Thank you, Gouldsy.
Thank you, Derek.
All right, guys.
See you, buddy.
All right, Gouldsy.
Derek Gould with us here. Your thoughts on what he had to say. We covered a lot there, Jeff.
Stuff, brother.
I mean, it was 40 minutes ago that I asked about the OutSportsCom. Then we got into the trade deadline. Then we got into...
Yaddy daddy.
We likes to potty. Let's, Doug, I'm going to highlight, if you don't mind, some of the things I tweeted out throughout the course. I couldn't keep up. On how close the Cardinals were to making a move, he said they were really distant. On the roster, they were stymied at every end on trying to get a bat, especially one with control through 2018. On whether no activity yesterday from the Cardinals indicated their happiness with this current roster. Satisfied with it? No. Stuck with it? Yes. From him on off-season potential moves. The Cardinals may have the intent to make moves that they may not have the ability to do it. From fans not being real happy at this moment. He said this is a continuation of the angriest year for St. Louis Cardinal fans. It's ratcheted up to a level I'm astonished by. And then regarding holding people accountable, he said holding people accountable used to mean asking questions. Now people want Busch Stadium to turn into Thunderdome. I believe there was an ad lib regarding Tina Turner.
Yeah,
be nice to see her.
As a fan base, we are indeed spoiled. We have been spoiled by what we've seen.
No question.
Since 1998, when Mark McGwire started hitting home runs every other time to the plate, we have been thoroughly entertained by a team that's almost always in the playoff hunt and been to how many? Four World Series since 2004? We are spoiled. And 1 year where we're 4.5 games out with 2 months to play, we think the earth is falling apart.
We got a break. We are way late for a break. We'll come back with more discussion on the topic. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.